When I was a kid, my best friend David had a lemonade stand that made him $80 in just 2 hours. That was a fortune for a 12-year-old in the 90s. Convinced having a lemonade stand would be my path to kid fortune, I set up my own stand, eager to make some serious money. And I sold 3 cups of lemonade, one to my mom, one to my friend's mom, and one to a sympathetic neighbor. So why was David so much more successful than I was? He understood the third P of marketing, place. You see, my friend David set up his lemonade stand at the end of the neighborhood 4th of July parade. Everyone in our neighborhood would march around the neighborhood and we would end at the neighborhood pool. But the parade typically got to the pool before the pool opened. So everyone would just stand around in the hot Texas sun waiting for the pool to open. And there was David selling ice cold lemonade hand over fist. He always had the biggest super soakers in the neighborhood and he bought them with his own money, which was very impressive for 12-year-olds. As for me, I lived in a cul-de-sac tucked deep within our neighborhood. For someone to drive by our house, they had to be so lost, there was no hope but to turn around. Every once in a while, it's nice to go back to the basics and talk about marketing fundamentals. Getting the fundamentals right is more important than keeping up with the latest trends and algorithm changes. While technology changes, people don't change, and the ways to influence people to take action don't change either. That's right. It's time for another one of our popular Marketing 101 episodes. And today we're going to talk about the third P of marketing, place. The first two are product and price, and I have an episode on each of those, and I'll link to those episodes in the show notes. The third P, place, is all about where readers read your book. Sometimes the key to unlocking incredible sales is simply about where the book is for sale. Marketing P number three, this place, is where a lot of self-published authors really fall down. While indie authors have an advantage in price, especially for ebooks, they often overlook place. Many indies only sell in one place, Amazon, and that can hurt their sales, particularly for paper books. But even many traditionally published authors fail to take advantage of place to supercharge sales, or they don't know this is something that they can affect. So how can you unlock the power of place for your book? We'll find out in this episode of Novel Marketing, the longest running book marketing podcast in the world. I'm Thomas Umstadt Jr., CEO of Author Media, and this is the show for writers who want to build their platform, sell more books, and make a living writing books worth talking about. And to figure out where to sell your book, you need to first understand how place works and why it's so powerful. So let's go through it. First, place creates value and creates quality expectations. Back in 2013, Beth Feebach from North Carolina bought a painting for $10 at a Goodwill store. She was intending to reuse the canvas for her own work. However, before she made any change to the painting, a friend advised her to check the labels on the back. It turned out to be Vertical Diamond by Lya Boltovsky, a Russian-American abstract painter. The painting later sold at auction for over $34,000. The painting was exactly the same painting in both places. It was hideous modern art at the Goodwill, and it was still hideous modern art at the auction. What changed was the place where it was sold. $34,000 is a relatively cheap art auction price, and it's an insanely high price at a Goodwill. A good example of this for authors is the difference in price of books on Kickstarter versus the price of those same books on Amazon. So, a good case study here is the book Road Trip Rescue. In July 2023, Becca Werwill put her book Road Trip Rescue on Kickstarter. She followed the method that we teach in our crowdfunding course for authors, and she raised a total of $5,426 from 121 backers. If you do the math, that's an average of $44.84 per backer. That same book now sells on Amazon for $4.99 as an ebook, $14.99 as a paperback, and $22.99 as a hardback. So why were readers willing to pay so much more for the book on Kickstarter? The answer is place. Where people buy a book affects how much they expect to spend. $44 is actually a pretty common average backing price for a Kickstarter campaign. On Brandon Sanderson's most recent Kickstarter campaign, the average backing price was $225. So compared to Sanderson, Werewill's book was a bargain, and she also offered signed and numbered hardbacks just like Sanderson. Readers are willing and even eager to spend more money for the exact same book when purchasing it on Kickstarter. Readers know they could get it on Amazon for cheaper later, but they want to pay a premium on Kickstarter to get it now and to get all of the intangible benefits, like knowing that they contributed to make the book possible, getting early access to the book, having their name listed in the book, getting a signed copy, exclusive swag, perhaps a signed and numbered copy, access to the author, and a lot more. We talk about a lot of ways that you can boost the perceived value of your Kickstarter campaign in our course, Crowdfunding for Authors. And if you're thinking about independently publishing your next book and money is tight, you really should listen to my episodes about crowdfunding to learn more about Kickstarter. I'll link to the crowdfunding category of the blog in the show notes for this episode. But place also determines demand. When it comes to leveraging demand, the rule of thumb is to go to where the fish are. No amount of gears, lures, or bait will help you if there are no fish in the pond you're fishing in. This is what my friend David figured out with his 4th of July lemonade stand. By going to where people were already thirsty, his lemonade sold much better than it would have if people had to go to him. A good case study on this is Choice Book Spinners. I talked with a literary agent about this recently who was telling me about one of his clients who was selling tens of thousands of copies a year with, quote, no marketing, unquote. All the publisher was doing was getting his books placed on the Choice Book Spinners at pharmacies, grocery stores, and hobby stores. And while his books may not have had any promotion, which promotion is the fourth P of the five Ps of marketing, and we'll have an episode on promotion in the future. So while his book didn't have any promotion, having a strategic place is still marketing and savvy marketing at that. So it's not that the publisher wasn't doing any marketing, it just wasn't doing any promotion. Next time you're at a pharmacy, look for the Choice Book Spinner and pay attention to the kind of books they sell. They sell a very specific kind of books, and the books often promise very specific solutions to very specific problems. You can think of it as selling literary prescriptions for social, financial, and emotional challenges. There's no pill in the pharmacy that will help you with your finances. In fact, the pills will hurt you with your finances. But a book in the pharmacy on budgeting and how to get out of debt may be just what the doctor ordered. So ask yourself, where are people when they get in the mood to buy your kind of book? Are they on vacation? Are they at school? Are they at church? Are they at the grocery store? People's tastes change throughout the day based off of their mood and their location and what they're doing. So place and timing are connected, and there is a moment when the iron is hot and it doesn't take much to convince someone to buy your book. In fact, it may not take anything. All your book has to do is be there when they're in the mood for your particular kind of book. Place also determines your audience. Birds of a feather flock together. Different kinds of people visit different kinds of places. Your book for sale at a truck stop will reach a different kind of reader than that same book for sale at the tourist gift shop across the highway. So who is your Timothy? I think I talk about Timothy in just about every episode. Probably all of my solo episodes at this point talk about Timothy. If you haven't listened to my episode on Timothy, do click the link in the show notes and listen to the episode about how to find your Timothy. What kind of places does Timothy visit? Think outside of the typical bookstore. The more creative you are, the less competition you'll face and the more books you will sell. Our case study on place determining audience is Trisha Goyer. And Trisha Goyer is a homeschool mom who writes the kinds of books that other homeschool moms like to buy. So where does she sell her books? Well, you know, she sells them on Amazon, of course, but she also travels to homeschool book fairs all over the country and sells tens of thousands of books in person by hand to fellow homeschoolers. This not only lets her keep most of the money, because there's no need to share a cut with a retailer like Amazon, but it also helps her keep in touch with her Timothy. By talking with other homeschool moms, she gets to hear about their hopes, dreams, frustrations, and preferences. And when this informs her writing, it gives her a huge advantage over other authors who are, quote, writing for themselves, unquote. It also helps hone her marketing because she gets to practice talking about her books to her target readers to see what descriptions resonate with them and which ones don't. For more on selling in person, listen to my episode, How to Sell Your Book in Person. I should say place also determines margins. I kind of just alluded to this, but some places let you sell your book yourself and keep all of the money. So it's just the cost of being there and the cost of the book, and you get to keep all the difference. Other places like Audible, which is perhaps the worst example, Audible keeps just about all of the money for themselves. They give you a tiny pittance of the books that you sell through Audible. Most places are somewhere in the middle. So place affects how much money you make per copy. So for example, being in an airport bookstore is great, but is it worth paying $10,000 to achieve? Well, it depends on the book and how many copies you can expect to sell through that airport bookstore. So when thinking about place, don't forget to think about how it affects your finances. Place, I would say, also determines your competition. Where your book is for sale determines which books it competes with for attention and for dollars. So when your book is on Amazon, you're competing with all books ever written, ever, by anyone. That is a lot of competition, and it is very easy to get lost. In fact, a lot of authors think that all they have to do is upload their book and people will find them, and that's not true. There are 1,000 to 3,000 new books uploaded to Amazon every day. There's already millions of books there, and no one will find your book if they're not looking for it. Compare that to selling your book in the back of the room after giving a speech. You're now the only person selling books. Public speakers are like my friend David selling lemonade. They have 100% of a captive market. This is part of the reason that public speakers tend to sell so many books at live events. They have the whole market to themselves. But it's not just public speaking. A good case study is Larry Correa. So I interviewed Larry a few months ago on the podcast, and he realized that his books appealed to gun owners, and particularly gun enthusiasts, right? His books are guys with guns fighting vampires and zombies, Monster Hunter International. And so he would take his books to gun shows. Now, gun shows have long had books for sale. People will go to gun shows and sell nonfiction books about guns and gun safety and politics. But they didn't typically have a lot of fiction for sale. Then Larry shows up selling his Monster Hunter International books, and he's selling them hand over fist. He had the whole market, tens of thousands of people in person showing up with cash to spend, and compared to buying a new firearm, buying a $20 book looks like a bargain. Word of mouth then started in the gun community, and he eventually became one of the best-selling authors of urban fantasy, period. Even people who don't own guns now buy and enjoy his books. Now, Larry knew that his book would appeal to the kind of people who attend gun shows. And so it was just a matter of showing up to the right place. And you can learn more about how he approached it in our interview. Now, I should clarify, I'm not saying that you should try to sell your contemporary romance at a gun show, but I am encouraging you to think about where your target readers like to hang out. Your contemporary romance about a couple in St. Louis might sell really well at the gift shops near the Arch. Sometimes you have to go to a place yourself to sell a book, but there are a lot of places that will sell your book for you. You just need to connect to the kind of places eager to sell your kind of book. So here's how to do it. Step one is to establish your sales and distribution channels. I know this sounds like boring business stuff, but it's important. Getting into more places requires both sales and distribution. And by sales, I mean reaching out to the retailers to get them to stock your book. This is not selling to readers. This is selling to shops and stores. Distribution is the logistics of getting the store the copies that they want to sell. Handling returns, managing inventory, managing money flow. These logistics may not be glamorous, but they often make all of the difference. And I should say, sales and distribution cost money. And so you'll already need to have achieved some success to play in this game. If you're brand new, if you have yet to sell 10,000 copies, this probably is not going to work for you. You can still show up in person and sell books like crazy, but you need to have books flowing through the pipes, so to speak. before most distribution companies will be interested. Companies like Anchor and Ingram can help you with this, but they typically want to work with authors who are already successful in selling books. Because there's a lot of indie authors who think that if they could just be in the distribution channel, that somehow that will cause them to sell more books. And that's not how it works. They don't know about the other steps I'm about to teach you. And remember, selling books yourself at a book festival or book fair or gun show doesn't require sales or distribution. It just requires you to show up with a box of books and some ability to take credit card payments. So that's step one, get your sales and distribution set up. Step two is to reach out. And the key to selling through local shops is to make a personal connection with the store owner or the store buyer, if it's a bigger store. You'll want to reach out to the store, and you know, visiting in person is best, followed by a phone call. And in a pinch, you can try to email, but don't expect good response rates to your emails. Most buyers at retailers get flooded with emails from people trying to get them to sell all kinds of random stuff. So the more personal the connection, the better. And if you can find someone to make an introduction for you, even better. So that's step two, is to reach out. Step three is to identify the buyer. The person who answers the phone or who greets you when you walk in the store is unlikely to be the person who makes decisions on what gets stocked on the shelves. If it's a really small store and you happen to meet the proprietor, you're in luck, but that's very rare. So your goal with the first person you come in contact with is to have a good interaction and to identify who the buyer is and how to get in touch. And then once you do, once you've figured out who the decision maker is, it's time for step four. Give your pitch. Include an explanation for why their customers would love your book. Explain what the retail discount is, what the terms are. Is the book for sale on consignment or is it wholesale? Do you take returns of books that don't sell? And if so, what are the terms for the returns? If you're traditionally published, all of this will be handled by your publisher. And if you're indie, check with your distributor. And realize this is technical. And because it's technical, most indies don't do it, which means this is your edge if you're willing to do some research and to study this and to approach it with a teachable spirit. Step five is to offer a sample. So I would always leave a copy with that first person you interact with, even if they're not the decision maker, because, well, the first person you meet at the bookstore may not decide on what gets shelved or not. That person is the person interacting with customers. And if they like your book and start recommending it, your book will sell like crazy. You can also offer the buyer a sample, you know, small number of books to sell just as a test, right? It's like, hey, let me leave three books here. You get to keep all the profits just to see if these kinds of books appeal to your customers. And if they sell quickly, then hopefully they'll place an order for more books. So I realize this is work and I realize this is cost, but having retail advocates for your book can be a game changer. And then the final step, step six, is to deliver the books. You know, ideally your distributor will do this for you, but regardless, this is your responsibility. So make sure the correct number of books are delivered to the correct place at the correct time. Okay, so now it's time for the part of the episode you've all been waiting for. Hopefully now you understand the power of place, and I'm about to give you 12 online places you can sell your books and 24 offline places you can sell your books. You're not going to sell in all of these places. This is more to get the gears turning. And if you look at the blog post version of this episode, a lot of these places, I have episodes talking about them specifically. So you can just click the link and learn more about how to take advantage of that specific place. So the online places are Amazon, of course, you always want to be on Amazon, Apple iBooks, easily overlooked, Kobo, particularly popular in Canada, Barnes & Noble, Google Play Books, Scribd. This is a reading subscription service that allows authors to publish their book in various formats and people pay a fixed rate. It's kind of like Kindle Unlimited, but a competitor. Your website is a wonderful place to sell books because you get the customer data and you get the full margins for the book. And I have episodes on how to do that. Kickstarter, as we have already talked about, Patreon, giving your book away to people who've been a patron for a certain amount of time or who are a patron when your book is launched can be very effective. Substack, Etsy, surprisingly good. Not just for your book, but for all other kinds of book-related ancillary products, and Alibris. And again, I'll have links to all of these. The ones that sounded the weirdest are the ones that you are not familiar with are the ones that are probably the biggest opportunity for you. Because if you don't know about it, perhaps your competitors also don't know about it. So what about offline places to sell your books? Well, one is coffee shops. In fact, I was at a coffee shop in, I think it was Pflugerville, Texas, and I looked and I saw a book of a novel marketing listener there for sale right near the checkout. And I was like, this is such a cool place to sell a book. And it was exactly what I talked about. You know, she went in, made connections with the buyer at that coffee shop. And, you know, how many authors ask a coffee shop to sell their book? Probably not very many. And if you, especially if you're local, why wouldn't they try to sell your book? It's a very easy product. It doesn't go bad, right? It doesn't rot. It doesn't get stale. Trade shows. So this could be gun shows, insurance adjuster conferences, right? Any kind of trade show. Ideally, something connected with your topic. For nonfiction, this can be very effective. I don't think for nonfiction, it's necessarily cost effective in the moment. Some trade shows are very expensive, but it can be very useful for creating connections, potentially with retail buyers that will get you into their various outlets. But again, it really depends on your genre. The more you can think outside of the box and define whatever the gun show equivalent is for you, the more likely you'll be to be very successful at trade shows. Homeschool conventions, we've already talked about. Tens of thousands of books are sold each weekend at a homeschool convention. Church foyers. So if you haven't been to church recently, you may not know that many churches, when you walk into the church, the foyer is often basically a bookstore and there's books for sale. And if your book is appropriate for that church or that denomination, your book could be for sale in the church. Not all churches sell books and your book may not be appropriate to churches, but it may be something that you're overlooking. Locally owned tourist shops, particularly, I think this is a great opportunity in whatever area your book takes place in. So where does your book take place? And you're like, oh, my book takes place in my hometown. My hometown's not exotic. Well, it's not exotic to you because you live there. But somebody who's visiting, it is exotic for them. In fact, you could also consider going to your visitor center for your town. They may be very happy to have a book that takes place in that town to sell to people who see your town as exotic because they're from some faraway place. Gift shops. So museum gift shops, hospitals, visitor centers, historical sites, aquariums, zoos. I mean, there's gift shops everywhere. They almost all sell books and they're almost all overlooked by almost all authors. So think about what kind of gift shop would be interested in your kind of book. Obviously, not everyone will be appropriate for an aquarium, but your book might. Hobby and interest stores. If your book centers around some specific hobby or interest, like knitting, gaming, gardening, photography, there's lots of stores that would be very happy to sell your book if you found a connection. And you may start thinking, oh, I could rework my book to be more appealing to a certain kind of store where suddenly you can get an angle for your book. Themed shops like a dive shop, a computer store, a smoke shop, a gun store, right? Think about very specific shops, particularly the kinds of stores that are owned by local owners, like small businesses. Those are easier to work with and more likely to work with an independent author. But yeah, there's lots of theme shops and one of those themes may be appropriate to your book. Also themed schools. So a dojo, right? Do you have a kung fu book or a ninja fighting book? Maybe a dojo would be happy to sell it, or a ballet studio. When I was a literary agent, one of my clients had a series of books and they were all ballet themed. And she actually sold a lot of books through ballet studios. She had a background in ballet and that was a big channel for her sales. Music schools, right? Think about where kids go after school. And you're like, well, my book's not for kids. It's like, okay, think of all of the bored moms sitting in tiny little waiting areas for their kids to get done with whatever the class is. Would your book be interested to those moms? Maybe, maybe not. Conferences and seminars, bonus points if you're speaking, but if you can get other speakers to sell your book, you can take your book on the road without having to go anywhere. This can be a very effective way to sell books, and speakers are often looking for books that they can sell. So work out a deal with a professional speaker that you know, if you have particularly a nonfiction book that you think would be connected with the topics they speak on, they might be very happy to sell your book and make some money for them and make some money for you. Public transport shops, so train stations and airport bookstores, sell a shockingly high number of books. These can be very expensive to get into, but you can sell a lot of books once you're there. Indie bookstores, of course, I felt like I should include them, but you're already probably thinking about indie bookstores. Farmers markets, you can get your own stall or consign to other merchants at the farmers market. In fact, it'd probably be easier and cheaper to go to a farmer's market and pitch the various farmers there and be like, hey, my book is a themed, you know, I talk about the environment. I talk about environmentalism, or my characters are farmers or whatever. You know, if there's a connection, you can make a pitch and maybe the person selling organic milk can sell your book right next to the organic milk. It's a lot easier in some ways to sell the book because the book won't go bad. Whatever copies don't get sold one month, they can bring back the next month and sell them then, unlike the milk. And pet stores, if your book has a pet connection, spas, barbers, stylists, nail shops, all of these places are potential places to sell your book. Art galleries, if your book has an art connection, or a music store, a Renaissance festival. Getting into a Renaissance festival is tricky, but a lot of the proprietors of the various shops are actually small businesses. And they pay rent for their shop and they say huzzah and they say my lord and they make it look like they're an employee, but really they're an independent proprietor and they may be very happy to sell your fantasy book in their store that normally sells knives or whatever. Board game shops, again, for fantasy books, game guides, or anything related to game culture, a board game store could be really good. There's a board game shop in my town called Emerald Tavern that people just go and play board games with complete strangers and drink mead and drink coffee. And they sell books and they sell board games and comic books. And if you're the right kind of nerd, that may be just the place to sell your book. Speaking of nerds, comic book stores, they also sell regular books. And there's a lot of comic book stores. Outdoor or sporting goods stores, they sell books. And if somebody's going camping and your book is camping themed appropriate, somebody may want to take your book camping with them and throw it in the cart while they're at the outdoor store. Antique shops, again, many antique shops are locally owned. It's just a matter of connecting with the owner and convincing them that your book would be interesting to her or his customers. And so I'd say probably historical fiction or nonfiction books about antiques or even historical novels. If your book is World War II themed, I suspect it would sell very well in an antique shop. The kind of people who shop at antique shops, I think, are very interested in World War II. The back of the room where you speak, I already talked about that. And then finally, drugstore spinners. So hopefully I got your mind spinning in terms of ideas. Obviously, the world is your oyster. There's thousands of places you can sell your book that I have not mentioned here. But hopefully you'll think of at least one place other than Amazon where you can sell your book. Your book can't be everywhere, but it can be where it will have its best chance to succeed. The more creative you are with place and the more you hustle in getting your physical book in front of readers, the more copies you'll sell, and it may be that the key to your success is simply to start thinking outside of the Amazon box. I'm not saying to stop selling your book on Amazon. Amazon will probably always be your number one place, but your number two place may make you more money and make you happier and help you connect with new readers who've never heard of you. Our featured patron today is Joy Cleveland, author of To Call My Own. Hoping for a fresh start, Dr. Karis Henry accepts a position in Harbor, Missouri, a small underserved town by Feather Lake. The long hours and demands of the community clinic are just what she needs, a way to bury the memories and control the pain. But the minute Clay Montes shows up, her new life falls to pieces. For fans of heartwarming romance, To Call My Own is a must-read story of love, healing, and second chances. Joy Cleveland, thank you so much for being a patron of the Novel Marketing Podcast. Your support helps keep this podcast on the air, and I really appreciate it. The Novel Marketing Podcast is not a free podcast. Each episode takes time and a surprising amount of money to produce. And we're a value for value podcast. This means that listeners who get value from the podcast give some of that value back to keep the show on the air. So Joy Cleveland, thank you for finding the Novel Marketing Podcast valuable. And thank you for your generous giving of some of that value back to keep the podcast on the air. If you find the Novel Marketing Podcast valuable, if you find these episodes help you sell more books and you want them to keep coming every week, you can become a Novel Marketing patron at novelmarketing.com/patron. The Novel Marketing Podcast is a production of AuthorMedia.com. The audio engineer is William Umstadt. The blogifier is Shauna Lettler. And you can find the blog version of this episode at AuthorMedia.com/410. I'm Thomas Umstadt Jr. saying thank you for listening and live long and prosper.